I enjoyed that very much. Thank you so much. I'd like to dismiss Children's Church at this time. Up here with Pastor Rick. Children's Church dismissed at this time. Here they come. All right, if you would, turn your Bibles again to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. Tonight we begin part two of the Pastor Discovery class. I've been really thrilled about the response I've received from many of you about starting this part two. How excited many of you are. I hope you're not disappointed. You're so excited about it, and I hope it'll be as good as part one is, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. What I've tried to do is look at different doctrines of the Bible, teaching the Bible that, and when misunderstood, can create doubt and insecurity in the life of a believer. And tonight is one of them. So this is called Understanding Great Doctrines of the Bible. And part one is Understanding Important Differences. That would be lessons 1 through 9. And 10 through 13 will be understanding life-changing truths. So I want to look at some differences in the Bible you need to understand. And one of them is understanding the difference between God's cleansing for salvation and His cleansing for fellowship. Let me say it again. Understanding the difference between God's cleansing for salvation and His cleansing for fellowship. In our story here, I appreciate the Apostle Peter so much. How he responds to the Lord's talking. Here the Lord takes the cleansing of the physical, talking about the feet. And he goes in there and begins to teach the cleansing of the spiritual. He takes the physical truth and teaches the spiritual truth. And he girded himself and had water going to wash his disciples' feet. By the way, you've had your feet washed before? You've been involved with the foot washing service? I've been on both sides. I've done the washing. I've had my feet washed. It's more humbling to have your feet washed than to do the washing. And that's the reason Peter responded the way he did. Lord, they're going to wash my feet? And he said, what I do now, you know not of, but you will later. And what did he say? Lord, thou wilt never wash my feet. And so it begins with number one, the magnitude of our cleansing. The magnitude of our cleansing. And I use the word magnitude as the importance of our cleansing. The cleansing the Lord Jesus is talking about is very important. When Peter said, thou wilt never wash my feet, what did the Lord say? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Wow. That is true of the sinner for salvation. He has no part with the Lord if he's not washed in the blood. It's also true of the believer for fellowship. He has no part in fellowship with the Lord apart from the cleansing. So it's important to separate those two to understand this truth. So basically, Jesus was speaking of two kinds of washings, two kinds of cleansing. I'm going to use the word washing and cleansing synonymously because the scripture does. Sometimes I'll use the word washing, sometimes I use the word cleansing because they refer to the same thing. But in this passage, the Lord speaks of two kinds of washings. Letter A, he speaks of the washing or the cleansing for salvation. The washing, or you can say the word cleansing for salvation. Look in verse 10 again, please. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. This verse literally reads this. He that has been once and for all washed all over does not need to do anything more than to cleanse his feet. That's what he's saying here. He that has been once and for all washed all over does not need to do anything more than cleanse his feet. He that is washed. The word washed there, the first part, is the washing for salvation. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, please. He that is washed needeth not. In other words, once you're washed in salvation, you need not to be ever washed again as far as your relationship with the Lord is. He that is washed needeth not, goes on to say, but is clean every whit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, please. Here it speaks of the washing of salvation, what the blood of Christ does for the sinner. How many are grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ and what it does in our relationship with God and our fellowship with God? In verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Boy, he covers all kinds of sins, does he not? Adultery, fornication, idolaters, adulterers. Then he talks about homosexuality. Effeminate, those that abuse themselves with mankind. Then he talks about thieves and covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And he says, these people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm so glad for verse 11. He says, such were some of you. In other words, among these people in the city of Corinth, many of them were fornicators. Many of them were idolaters. Many of them were adulterers. Many of them were homosexuals. Many of them were thieves. Many were covetous. Many were drunkards. He says, such were some of you. But he goes on to say, but ye are what? Washed. Oh, I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from all sin. And basically, they were no longer that in the eyes of God because of the washing of the blood of Christ. So they have been sanctified, but they are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. So this washing here is the washing for salvation. Titus 3:5, a verse I quote quite often. I believe it will be on the screen. It also speaks about the washing in salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Talking about the washing that comes when you're born again by the Spirit of God. You're washed in the blood and you're regenerated by and renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. These speak of the cleansing, the washing of salvation. So basically, the cleansing for salvation is once and for all sin and never needs to be repeated. I hope you fill in the blank there. The cleansing for salvation is once and for all sin and never needs to be repeated. He that is washed needeth not. It means washed again, except for his feet. And you're clean. So again, the cleansing we receive at salvation when we trust Christ as Savior is a once and for all sin and never needs to be repeated. That's so important to understand that. That's the first kind of washing the Lord spoke about. The second one, letter B, is the washing for fellowship, the cleansing for fellowship. Look at verse 10 again, please. Now, if I'm going too fast because you need to fill in the blanks, raise your hand and look at me funny. I'll make sure you get all this filled out because there'll be a lot to chew on here. You need to go back home with it and go over it again. The first washing is the washing for salvation. The cleansing for salvation is a once and for all and never be repeated. But then let it be, the second kind of washing or cleansing is that for fellowship. And the latter part of verse 10 says, he that is washed needeth not, means needs not to be washed again. That's salvation. But it goes on, save to wash his what? His feet. His feet refers to his daily walk with the Lord, his fellowship with God. Now remember, the cleansing for salvation is once and for all sin and never needs to be repeated. However, the washing or cleansing for the believer's fellowship is repeated over and over. The washing for the and cleansing for the believer's fellowship is being repeated over and over. Salvation, once and for all, sin, never be repeated. But now that you're saved, we still sin, do we not? And so we need to be cleansed again by the blood of Christ. And this is for fellowship. And it's repeated over and over again. All who have been washed at the time of salvation need only daily cleansing for continual fellowship. Please fill in that blank. All who have been washed at the time of salvation need only daily cleansing for continual fellowship. For example, in Eastern lands, people used to have public baths. They'd go and wash themselves a complete washing in the public bath. But as they walked in dusty streets, their feet became dirty. And on arriving at home, they did not need to take another bath. They needed only to wash their feet, because that's what got dirty. So it is with the believer. When you're saved, you're completely washed all over by the blood of Christ. However, in our daily walk with the Lord, our feet get dirty. And after we're saved, we confess our daily sins to the Lord, and we have our feet washed, and our walk is cleansed with God. The first washing is that of salvation. You receive the moment you trust Christ as Savior, and that washes away all your sin and never needs to be repeated. However, as a believer, in order to have fellowship with God, we need to be washed daily. One cleansing is for salvation. One cleansing is for fellowship. And it's very important because Christ said, if I wash thee not, thou have no part with me. So that is true of the unsaved. The unsaved is not washed in the blood. He can have no part in salvation. But once you're saved, cleansing is still important. Though you're saved, that will never change. You also can have no part with the Lord in fellowship unless you experience daily cleansing. So these are two different kinds of cleansing. It's important to understand the difference. That's the magnitude. Number two. Now look at the method of our cleansing. The method of our cleansing. How God cleanses us. First of all, the method of cleansing for the believer's salvation. Go with me now to Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. Keep your finger in John there. The last book of your Bible, Revelation 1. Here it talks about the washing of salvation. And it gives us the method in which God does that. Revelation 1. We can read the verse together, then I want to focus on a certain part of the verse. Revelation 1:5. And I hope you turn with me. Many of the verses will be on the screen, some of them will not. So please turn with me. So we're talking about the method in which God washes us, the method used in the believer's salvation. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Notice what it says. Unto him that what? Loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The method the Lord Jesus uses to wash us in salvation is the precious royal red blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the method he uses. When we believe, that's our part. He washes us from all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the method of cleansing for salvation. But now, letter B, the method of cleansing for the believer's fellowship. The method for the believer's fellowship. The first one was talking about our union with Christ, salvation. Now it talks about our communion with Christ, our fellowship. Go with me now to 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now, a few books before Revelation. Again, many of you know the Bible quite well. Some of you may not. This is not the Gospel of John, not St. John. This is 1 John. Again, if you start in Revelation and start going to the front of your Bible, Revelation, then Jude, then 3 John, then 2 John, then 1 John. In chapter 1, look in verse 7. Notice in this scripture, the Lord's talking to those who are saved. In fact, he includes himself here. Chapter 1, verse 7, it said, John includes himself, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship. What does it mean to walk in the light? What is the light? Interesting. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and I'm the light of the world. But I believe that the Bible says, thy word is lamp unto my feet and a what? Light on my path. So the walk in the light, I believe, is walking in obedience to the word of God. As a Christian, if I walk in obedience to the word of God, we have fellowship one with another. And notice here the method he uses in the cleansing of fellowship and the what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So the method he uses for cleansing, for salvation, is the same method he uses for fellowship, the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, he repeats himself in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And what's it say again? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So basically, the method God uses for cleansing, for salvation, is the precious blood of Christ. But now that we're saved, we still sin. We do not need to be washed again for salvation. That's once and for all, never be repeated. The second washing is for fellowship. And so basically, we're also cleaned by the blood of Christ there. And it cleanses us from all sin. For salvation, our part is to believe, and we're washed. For fellowship, our part is confess, and we're washed. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive. Psalm 51, many of you know this verse. David was speaking. Here, remember, David was saved when he wrote this. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he desired cleansing for fellowship. He says in verse 1, have mercy upon me. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. What's he say in verse 2? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my what? Now, notice David is talking about cleansing for fellowship. David had not lost his salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me my salvation. Restore unto me the what? The joy. Talking about his fellowship with God. He lost that. And so he needed cleansing for fellowship. And he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Only as we allow the blood of Christ to cleanse us as Christians, we can remain in fellowship with him and enjoy his presence and his power in our lives. Let me say that again. Only as we allow the blood of Christ to cleanse us as Christians can we remain in fellowship with him and enjoy his presence and power. And here's what we need to fill in, I believe. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Let me explain to that to you. Relationship is he's my father and I'm his son. That cannot be broken. But fellowship can. You understand the difference, between relationship and fellowship. The next one is sin cannot break the relationship with Christ, but sin can break our fellowship with Christ. So once you're saved, you have a relationship with God. He's your father, you're his child, you're born again by the Spirit of God. And though we still sin, it does not break the relationship. Hallelujah. But what it does break, it breaks our fellowship. That's the reason we need to have cleansing to restore or to maintain our fellowship with God once we're saved. So basically, the method for cleansing and salvation was what? The blood of Christ. Our part, to believe in Christ. His part is to wash us from all sin. That washing is once and for all, never be repeated. Now that you're saved, we still sin. And so there's another washing of our daily sin and our walk with the Lord. Our part, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and he will wash us from that. The method in both of those are the blood of Jesus Christ. Letter C. Now the method for the believer's usefulness to God. The method of cleansing for the believer's usefulness. First of all, the method for salvation. The method for fellowship. Letter C. The method of cleansing for the believer's usefulness to God. Go now to John 15, please. Here's another kind of cleansing that allows me as a child of God to be useful and to be able to serve the Lord and be used by the Lord. John 15 in verse 1, please. John 15. Now, the pages seem to be getting quiet. Are you turning with me? John 15. Here's another type of cleansing. This one is not for salvation. It is not for fellowship. It is being used of God in his service. In John 15, look in verse 1, please. John 15, verse 1. Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he what? Purgeth. That's the word. He cleanses. He purchases it that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now you are clean. The word clean there is the same word as purge in verse 2. Now you're purged, now you're clean through the what? Not the blood, through the word. Through the word which I've spoken unto you. In other words, now that we're saved and walking in fellowship, if I want to be useful to God, as I read and obey the Word of God cleanses me and makes me useful to God. In fact, Ephesians 5:25, I'll read this for you. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church. How? By the washing of the water of the word. So there's cleansing and salvation by the blood of Christ. There's cleansing for fellowship by the blood of Christ. And then there's cleansing by the word of God to be useful for Christ. That's the third line. So Christ cleanses his church through the water of the word. As we daily read and obey the word, it keeps ourselves clean to be used of God. Psalm 119 verse 9. Many of you know this. David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By taking heed thereto according to thy what? The word. This is cleansing not for salvation. It's cleansing not for fellowship. Those who are saved. It's cleansing that we can be useful, a clean vessel for God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, listen to this verse. If a man therefore purge himself, cleanse himself from these, that context is sin, iniquity, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's the cleansing of the word of God in our daily lives to make us useful to God. So please listen. It is the once and for all cleansing by the blood of Christ that makes us a child of God. I'll give you a moment to feel that. It is the once and for all cleansing by the blood of Christ at the time of salvation that makes us a child of God. It is the daily cleansing of the blood of Christ that keeps us in fellowship with God. Now, are you understanding this? It's the once and once I'm the once and for all cleansing I receive when I trust in Christ as Savior. That's what makes me a child of God. That's salvation. Now I'm saved. It is the daily cleansing of the blood of Christ that keeps me in fellowship, or may I use the word communion with God. And the next one, it is the continual cleansing of the word of God that maintains my usefulness to God. Are you seeing the three different kinds there? One for salvation by the blood, one for fellowship by the blood, one for usefulness by the word of God. I'll pause a moment there because many of you are still writing down. These are great truths, and it's so important for God's people to understand the difference between them. Otherwise, it causes you to get confused about God's cleansing. So number one, we looked at the magnitude of cleansing, talking about the importance of that. Christ said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then we saw the method of cleansing is by the blood of Christ for salvation, for fellowship, and the word of God for usefulness. Number three. Now we're looking at the measure of our cleansing. We saw the magnitude, the importance. We saw the method. Now the measure of our cleansing. Go back now to John, please. Back where we began. John 13 and verse 10, please. Here's the measure of cleansing at the time of salvation. The measure of cleansing at the time of salvation. We've looked at this verse already, but I read over it quickly, but I want you to see it again. In verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is what? Clean. How much? Every whit. And it says, you're clean, but not all. The word every whit means all, whole, completely. The measure of cleansing and salvation is all, whole, completely. At the time of salvation, I want you to fill in the blanks for this. We are completely washed from our sin, past, present, and future. This washing is a one-time act that never needs repeated. I can say it again. The washing is salvation. We are completely, he that is washed needs not be washed again, but is washed completely, the Bible says. It is from our past, present, and future. This washing is a one-time act that never needs to be repeated. In other words, the cleansing at salvation covers all sin you ever have done, are doing, ever would do at the moment you're saved. It's a one-time cleansing never to be repeated. He that is washed needeth not be washed again, the implication here, but is clean every whit, completely. This is the sinner's justification. But notice, interesting, in verse 10 there. He concludes and says, ye are clean, but not all. Who was it that never received the washing for salvation? Judas. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are clean, not all. So basically, remember Christ said, Peter said, Lord, thou comest wash my feet. He said, what I'm going to do now, you know not of, but you will later. He said, Lord, you will never wash my feet. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Well, how did he respond? Lord, not my feet, my head, my hand, all over. And of course, he's talking about a physical washing. But he applies that now spiritually. When you sin as a Christian, you don't need to be washed all over again. It happened the moment we were saved. That's the reason, for example, the Catholics. They teach every time you sin, you need to come to the priest for confession. And if you don't, if you die and confess sin, you won't go to heaven. They don't separate salvation and fellowship. As a Christian, if you die and confess sin, what will you do? You'll go to heaven. Because that doesn't affect the one-time washing for all sin when you're saved. It affects your fellowship. So even if I die and confess sin, that's the reason the Catholics believe suicide is the unpardonable sin. Because you can't confess it. Because you died in it. But if a believer commits suicide, will he go to heaven? Yes. Because he already received the cleansing for all sin. Past and present, future, the moment he was saved. Now, suicide would take you to heaven a little sooner than the Lord may originally intended, but it will not keep you out of heaven. He was speaking next. We saw the measure of cleansing at salvation, completely and all, past, present, future. Now the measure of cleansing during our daily walk with the Lord. How about our fellowship? The measure of cleansing during our daily walk with Christ. We saw this already. I'll read it again. 1 John 1:7. If we walk about daily fellowship or walk with the Lord, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. Now, part of walking in the light is confession. As I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. How much does sin is he forgive? All sin. So, the measure of forgiveness and salvation, praise the Lord, it's all sin. Everything you ever have done or ever will do is taken care of the moment you're saved. That established relationship that brought you in union with Christ. But now that you're saved, that union with Christ, the relationship cannot be broken. But we still sin. That affects not our salvation. That affects our fellowship, our walk with Christ. And therefore, we need to be washed in our walk. And that's not a one-time washing. It's a daily washing. I don't know about you. If any verse could ever be wore out, I wore out 1 John 1:9. Because every day I confess my sin, and he's faithful and just to what? Forgive and cleanse. That's not salvation. That's for fellowship. And the measure for that one is also from all sin. Now notice the cleansing in 1 John 1:9 has nothing to do with getting or keeping one saved. The cleansing in 1:7 there, it says, cleanse of all sin, has nothing to do with getting or keeping one's salvation. It's not salvation. Here's fellowship. It's strictly a matter of communion or maintaining our fellowship with Christ. You have that down? So when he says you walk in lies, he is the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's not telling anything about salvation. Getting it or keeping it has nothing to do with salvation. That's been settled when you were saved. It's strictly a matter of communion, of maintaining our fellowship with Christ. This is the believer's sanctification. And we're going to have a whole message on sanctification and justification. The cleansing for salvation brings justification with God. The cleansing for fellowship maintains sanctification with God. But many, here's the problem. Many believers make the same mistake Peter made. Lord, not my head, feet, but my hands and the head all over. When you sin as a Christian, you don't need to be washed again all over. That happened the moment you're saved. You need to take care of your feet, your daily walk. Here's what Warren Wiersbe said. Many believers make the same mistake Peter made when he said, Lord, not my feet, only my head, my hands. They want to be saved, washed all over again, when all they need to do is have their feet washed. So let me close with this. Our time's run out and I'm finished up. A few questions. First of all, have you ever experienced the once and for all cleansing for salvation? Have you experienced that? It's offered to you freely. Your part to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If so, you've experienced that one. Are you keeping yourself clean for continual fellowship? On a daily walk with the Lord, that is also by the blood of Christ, to maintain fellowship. The third question, are you staying in the Word to keep you clean, to maintain your usefulness for God? Cleansing for salvation, cleansing for fellowship, cleansing for usefulness. I'm going to close there. Next week, we're going to talk about understanding the difference between a believer's standing and the believer's state, which is also talking about a believer's position and his practice. This is very important, so don't miss next week to understand the difference between the position we have in Christ and the practice we have in everyday life. Thank you for your time. There's something I hope you'll take that, go back over it again, because we said a lot tonight, and you need to go over it again to understand it completely. Put your notes away, look up here. One more quick time to understand. I'm going to move so the people in the live stream can watch, move the camera with me. We're talking about washing, cleansing. The washing for salvation happened the moment you were saved. It's a one-time washing for all sin, past, present, and future, the moment you're saved. Our part is to trust Christ. At that moment, I received the cleansing by the blood of Christ from everything I have done, ever do the moment I was saved. Settled my relationship. I'm now a child of God, and that can never be changed. The second cleansing is now a cleansing for fellowship. The washing there is not a one-time act. It's an everyday thing to maintain my fellowship, not to restore relationship. That can't be broken. That was once and for all when I was saved. But now that I'm saved, I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Well, that's small issue. That is the second cleansing that maintains fellowship with the one who saved me. The third cleansing, those two are by the blood of Christ. The third one is now by the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to that word. The word of God would keep me clean so I can be useful to God. Make me a clean vessel in everyday service. Is this on? It's on. All right. Somebody's pointing at it. I don't know if maybe I got some food on my But anyway, hope you understand that. And so that's the first lesson. We're going to continue next week. So this is, each week gets a little bit better. So, man, be with us. Let's bow together, please. Dear Father in heaven, we just praise you and thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus and his ability to wash us from all sin. Allow someone said the prostitute to stand before the Lord, as though she'd never sinned as a virgin. The blood of Christ can wash us from all sin. Thank you for the cleansing and salvation. But Father, now that we're saved, we have a relationship with you, and that cannot change, cannot be broken. But Father, we still sin. And that sin does not break the relationship, but Lord, it does break or hinder the fellowship. And you allowed us to, again, to experience cleansing for to maintain that fellowship, to make, give it a clean, and nothing will hinder our communion with Thee. And Father, we also thank You for the wonderful Word of God and how the Word of God keeps us clean for usefulness, to make us a clean vessel to be used by our Savior. Father, help us to understand the distinct difference between this cleansing and, Lord, apply it to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.